Blog Talk Radio.
I speak for your followers, and I speak for your ex-followers, and I speak for...
It's recording.
Okay, today I'm going to go a little bit off topic and go back to the roots. I'm coming back with a former guest, one of my favorite guests of the past because of her involvement in one of my favorite TV shows of all time, Chuck. It's Patricia Ray. How you doing, Patty?
I'm doing great. I'm really, I'm really active and pursuing and being very vocal about so many things. So I'm really appreciative to get this moment to speak with you.
I try to keep it open, Sam. absolutely. And this has been a show for passions lately, and even though it's nice to get off topic of what I've been talking about, we're going to talk about some serious issues with you today, and because you asked me, and I've always made it clear to all my guests, you have something to say, you'll always have an open channel to come on and speak, so I'm glad to have you on, and I'm always happy to talk to you, Patty. Let's see, so your main thing you wanted to talk about, this came out of left field for me, and I haven't really been following it, so I'm glad you brought it up because now we can talk about it. And that was when Frances McDormand won the award at the Oscars. She made a call to action for a diversity writer in Hollywood for, to have more people of ethnic races and sexes to be able to have involvement in directing and writing and acting in Hollywood. Did I have that right?
Yeah. It's basically, it's a writer or an addendum. It's an inclusion writer. And so what A-list celebrity or A-list director or like a showrunner can request this addendum to be added to their contract to encourage diversity in hiring actors and crew, so above the line and below the line. So females, minorities, the LGBTQ community, people with disabilities. So that's a great thing that she brought up at the very end of her speech. Everyone was like, what did she say? I thought she said writer, W-R-I-T-E-R. And so then everybody started Googling, what did Frances McDormand say? So, yeah, so this inclusion writer was created by Stacey Smith, who's a professor at USC, and Kalpana Kotagal, a civil rights attorney. And they drafted this wording, to say that, movies fail to feature females and underrepresented racial ethnic groups, the LGBTQ community, people with disabilities. And they drafted this inclusion writer. The problem is that the inclusion writer isn't something that's readily available. So you can't just look it up and read it. You have to actually purchase it from them. You have to purchase the wording from them. And I guess that's a way for them to make money on this. But my issue with that is, if you're trying to promote diversity in the film industry and you've kind of come up with this brainchild, wouldn't it behoove you to just offer this language for free and find a different way to capitalize on it? Because the studios are not going to pay to get this language included into a contract, especially when they're at risk, possibly, for reverse discrimination lawsuits, because someone, a white, Caucasian actor or cinematographer could say, hey, I didn't get that job because of that inclusion writer, and I'm suing the production company or the studio because they were forced by the A-list actor or showrunner or director to put this inclusion writer in. You know what I'm saying?
That yeah, I was going to ask that, about that. That's a concern. Yeah.
It is a concern, and that's, I think, one of the reasons why nobody even heard of this agreement or this rider, per se. The other thing is that, you know, someone like Frances McDormand, yeah, it's easy for her to say, oh, inclusion rider, you know, let's get on that. How many times has she requested that in her contracts? Because if you look at her resume, I mean, she's married to one of the Coen brothers, and they're notorious for doing primarily white male projects. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was
right,
very ironic for this woman to say this when she's, you know, she's benefited from all of this kind of non-inclusion film. I thought it was kind of funny. What do you think?
Do you think she's being hypocritical, or do you think maybe she's actually starting to see that there's a need for this and just speaking out? I mean, I know people get accused all the time of taking that opportunity to showboat and act like they are part of a cause when they're just trying to elevate themselves. But she doesn't really need that elevation. I imagine maybe she just sees it for what it is and finally is making a statement about it. Is that not a possibility?
Well, I applaud her if she actually goes on in her next film projects to actually implement this writer into her contract. You know, we'll have to wait and see what happens, actually. And I know that SAG-AFTRA is coming up with some new language to kind of include parts of this writer into contracts, you know. But the problem is that studio heads, like I said, there's also in part of the rider is a penalty fee for not complying with it. So what studio is going to allow an A-list celebrity to include this addendum that they could possibly be fined for if comply with it? So, and if you look at the studios, they're all run by white males. There's only one female that runs a studio, which is a minority, a female, Stacy Snyder at 20th Century Fox is the only female that's chief of a Hollywood studio. So you think the other, men's club is going to allow that to happen? I don't think so. I think we're going to have to start on a smaller scale by actually hiring the showrunners and directors of minorities in that, and then let it kind of trickle down. I don't know. That's my feeling. I would love for it to work. I just don't know how realistic it is because it hasn't been implemented for a reason, you know.
Right. Well, you're in the industry. You're always fighting for those jobs. So you know better than I do. In a perfect world, you would think that we wouldn't need to make these writers, we wouldn't have to make these contract inclusions, that people would just be selected based on they were best for that role. They were best for that role, whether it be a grip or a cameraman or a director or a studio head or an actor. You know?
Exactly. The problem with Hollywood is, you know, it's all based on nepotism. And so, like, groups that work together are going to bring their crew with them. You know, like, a DP is going to bring their, you know, their gaffers and their electrical people because they've already worked with them. So it's really hard to break into the industry if you're a minority. If you're a female and you're a female DP and you want to, you know, break into television, the studios need to, I think, implement more programs. NBC and CBS, I think, have a program for minorities where they can shadow directors that are working on television. And I know some of my friends have moved up in those ranks. But But maybe they have, you know, if they had a program like that for actors, that would be great. If I could shadow a famous actress on a TV show and then be on, and then be cast in a show, that would be lovely.
Well, you know, I want to know your opinion on this, because you mentioned it earlier, the idea that there's only one female head overseeing a studio. Do you think that's because of lack of available spaces for people who aren't white males, or do we think it's lack of effort on the part, you know, are there not other nationalities, other sexual preference people, other race people, other, you know, women looking for those roles? Is there a demand for those roles by those particular people? I wouldn't know.
I think that it's just a question of, it's a boys club. And so when you're thinking about who's going to head a multi-billion dollar studio, you want someone that's strong and who's going to be able to roll with the punches, who's not going to cave under pressure, who's going to be respected, who, you know, is not going to be, bow to the pressures of the job. And men feel like they're the best candidates for those jobs, you know, because they've been groomed to do those jobs. So I think we need to start programs from grade school, if you want to track into a certain industry, whether it be like, you know, the tech industry. Then women are, you know, girls, the same skills that men are all automatically offered, you know?
Right, absolutely. So you're saying there's a mentality already in place, and that, do you think it's a deterrent? Do you think there may be less people trying out that are capable of doing the job because they believe that they're not going to get that opportunity anyway? Do you think there's some of that?
I just think that there's not enough avenues for a young woman to get to become the head of the studio, because there's not enough opportunities from the bottom. I mean, how do you become a studio head? You have to be an assistant. You have to be this. You have to be, you know, a line producer. You have to be a producer. And this is an industry where that doesn't necessarily, there's no schooling for that, right? So it's not like you go to school to become a studio executive. So that's kind of on the job training. So people in positions of hiring have to be the ones that say, you know what, I'm going to open these doors to more female, more minorities, more people of disabilities, people of color, women. The people at the top have to start opening the doors for the people, the new, you know, a new generation of diversity. Otherwise, nothing's ever going to change. You know, the movies that we see are going to stay the same.
And that's something we want to see. We want to see, and that's like something I alluded to earlier, is we want to see more proactive movement by the studios, by the industry, to make that proactive effort without having to make these clauses in contracts, right? And that's a lot to hope for, though, right? You can't expect that, because, you know, if you expect it, you just get more of the same. I think it's great, though, because just by mentioning diversity, right, or just by having the discussion, it's making people antsy in high places, and they're going to have to start looking at that. Right now, you know, Netflix turns down diversity, right, and maybe it's not, maybe they're not being terrible about it intentionally, but it makes them look bad now, right? Because they made that mention of that.
Exactly. So now there's a spotlight on the lack of diversity, right? And I also, I think there needs to be a movement, like audiences need to kind of band together. When you have 25% of the movie going audience is Latino based. So they're like a billion-dollar industry, bringing so much profits to the film industry, and yet we're represented on screen less than 3%. 3.1% of speaking roles are cast by Latino actors. So how do you change that?
Wow.
Well, the movie audience has all the power. They can demand, just like the African-American culture demanded that they be taken seriously, that they be, you know, included in the award shows. Look at all the presenters that we had, African-American presenters that we had this year at the Oscars. Latinos need to band
right.
together as a whole, but it's very difficult because we have, you know, we segregate ourselves. Well, I'm Colombian, I'm Dominican, I'm Cuban, I'm Mexican, you know. So we have to erase those divisions that just become one culture. We're all Latino. We all speak Spanish. The other problem is that they're not even using Latin Americans in films. When they are using Latinos in films,
yeah.
they're still foreign. They're either from Mexico or from Guatemala or from Colombia. They're ignoring the whole Latino American population in the United States, first, second, third generation Latino Americans that speak English. And that's not happening with Asians or Indians. I mean, they're doing much better in terms of visibility and the kind of quality of the roles that they're getting on television and film. I think that Latinos are still very far behind, but again, it all comes down to the executives making it a priority to hire Latinos, to hire women, to hire LGBTQT, and that's
right.
what's going to change the demographic. And the audience is demanding it, you know, saying, I'm not going to go see a movie. I want to see a Latino brown panther. I want to be the brown cat woman.
Right, right. Or you don't want to see a white man play, an Anglo white man play a samurai, right? Something like that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, it's funny, it takes me back to, I just recently watched a movie, it's a few years old now, it was about the origin of the Doctor Who show in BBC.
Was it a documentary?
It was based on the creation of Doctor Who in its first years with the first actor. And the thing was, this woman, Verity Lambert, this guy, Cindy Newman, at BBC, saw something in her and named her the producer, and nobody was happy with that. And they wanted her to fail, and she just couldn't fail. And that's one of those, you know, and I thought, wow, man, if I was a young woman in the entertainment, I'd be inspired by that. But some people might say, and I want your thoughts on this, if you are approached by somebody that said, and I'm not saying this for me, I don't think this way, but some people do. If you were approached by someone and they said, you're just not trying hard enough, or you're just not taking that brass ring. It's not Hollywood. It's you making excuses. How would you feel about something like that? That'd be pretty insulting.
I would look at it and see what part I have in it. You know, am I not trying hard enough? I mean, I've been at this for 30 years. I think I've given it a good go at it, and I still don't think I've had the success that a lot of my colleagues have had. I consider myself very talented, very hard at my craft, and I'm still, you know, struggling to work and to, you know, to break the barriers of ethnicity. I still have to, you know, I still get asked to play characters or come in and lead for characters that have accents, that are doing blue-collar jobs. And not even that, but now when they're casting Latinos, they're actually saying, well, are you Mexican? Because these characters are Mexican. So now they're actually specifying that we actually be the same nationality that the characters are written as. which is really disgraceful. But in answer to that, I've been doing my homework and my research and saying, you know, you're right. Why should Hollywood hand me anything? They haven't, you know, they're notoriously known for saying, where have you been all this time after you've made yourself successful? And I'm talking about people like Lena Dunham or the two girls that are really like breaking all kinds of barriers in Hollywood with their web series, Broad Siri, Ilana Glazer and Abby Jacobson. And, you know, so taking, I think writing is the most powerful tool that we have as artists. So if we can't wait around to be cast or to be, validated, then write something. That's the most powerful thing that you can do. And that's what I'm in the process of writing, a web series for myself, for me and my girlfriend, Marlene Forte, who's currently starring in Altered Carbon on Netflix.
And
it's a coming of age show for two women who are middle aging together. So it's two long-term friends who are basically aging together and, you know, they're rediscovering themselves and trying to figure out what's their importance of life in life for them now, because they've been moms, they've been wives, and now they're free to be themselves, but they don't really know who they are without identifying as a wife or as a, you know, a mom or a home carer. Yeah, so it's a comedy, obviously. And I'm going to shoot it and produce it. And my partner, Matteo Roboto, he's directing it for us, and he'll edit it for us. And then we'll put it up on the web, you know, on YouTube. And then that's the only thing I have power over, is to create my own content. So I can't sit around and say, you're not doing it for me. So if somebody says you're not doing enough, I'd say, maybe you're right.
Well, we're seeing more and more of that now, and with all the streaming options, there's more opportunity to do that. And I want to say that if we're talking about you specifically, though, I see your work. I love your work. I think you're great, and I don't think it's your fault for anything that you're not succeeding in. But I would want you to be one of the most successful ones, because sometimes being I hate to do this, I kind of promote positivity, but sometimes being the nice one that does all the right things gets you burnt. And it makes it hard for you to succeed because you want to do everything the right way. And when someone like that in this industry, someone like you in this industry to succeed, I know you're the type that's going to give back. And that's why I want to see someone like you succeed. That's how I work.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I've definitely, like I said, I've struggled and I've had that, you know, tremendous success, and I've had tremendous failures. And I'm at a point in my life where I either take the next step, which is, you know, create my own content, because I want to shape my own image. I don't want someone in, white executive at a studio to shape the image that I want to portray as, you know, an actor. I want to be in control of that. And the only way I can do that, I have to practice what I preach, right? I can't tell other young actors, you know, go out there and, own your image, identify and create content for yourself if I'm not doing it. So that's it in a nutshell. Diversity, writers, and create your own content. And the squeaky wheel gets
no oil. I think it's fair to say that the business, the entertainment industry, any aspect of it, is hard enough as it is for even a white male. So to have, and know it exists, because I haven't talked to anyone yourself included, I've interviewed a lot of people on this show in the industry in some aspect or other, and I haven't talked to anyone that's a different nationality or female that hasn't said the same things that you're saying, that hasn't had the same concerns that we're hearing about in the media, that doesn't run into the same prejudice. And the fact of the matter is that it's hard enough without having that. And it is a real thing. And I don't want people to forget that. Because I'm playing a little devil's advocate with some of these questions. I do want to say this. I read today, you may have read this. Oh, by the way, because it's today, I know I'm all over the place. Sorry, Patty. Happy Women's Day. We're recording this on Women's Day. Happy Women's Day.
Oh, yes. Happy International Women's Day to all the women out there who fight the good fights. I salute you.
Now, do you, and yes, to all the women, yes, with Patty. What I read today on Netflix was people are angry because Jon Favreau, who's done a tremendous job with the Marvel Universe, is he the Marvel guy? Yeah, the Marvel guy, right? He's going to be putting out a live action. Yeah.
The director of Iron Man and Elf. Mm-hmm.
Yes. He's going to be heading up a live-action Star Wars series, and people are up in arms and angry about it because another white male is running the show. Do you think that's taking it to the extreme too much the other way? Do you think we get too caught up in these causes? Because sometimes I've said something about this in the past. Sometimes if we fight too hard, we're actually hurting our own causes. Does that make sense, or am I off base on that?
So you're saying that people are upset because he's spearheading an animated version of Star Wars?
A live-action Star Wars series. They're saying it's another white male.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. Hopefully he'll include some diversity in it. I mean, I don't have a problem with white males creating content. I just want them to reflect a realistic vision of what the world looks like. And we come in all shapes and sizes. That you guys don't live on this planet by yourselves.
Right. No, I agree. But I think it's wrong to have spite for people or be unhappy for people who are successful and are doing good things. I think if Jon Favreau was a terrible producer, director, writer, whatever, and he was getting all these opportunities, I'd say, okay, let's just kill some more stuff here, okay? Put him in charge of stars. But that's not what this is, though. He was selected for the role, and you should be happy for him. But as long as that we're not losing out on opportunities for other people just as talented and just as capable as he is. Does that make sense, or am I off?
No, and you're right.
I think I went off the rails again for a second.
People do take everything to the extreme, like with the whole Me Too movement, you know. I mean, people's lives are being destroyed without actual proof, you know. An accusation alone can derail someone's whole life. Yes, there might be some truth in the accusation, but you still have to, you know, go in front of a court and be accused of the crime, and you can't accuse people without all knowing all the facts either, you know. My manager was Vincent Cerencion, and about three or four weeks ago, he came out in the Hollywood Reporter and all the papers that there were 9 counts of sexual harassment against him, and the company disbanded and ended up without a manager. I don't know. I wasn't in the room. I read the accounts. They said he masturbated in front of some clients and that he used leverage against his most of them were African American women. You know, he would say, "You, if you want me to make you as famous as Halle Berry or Taraji P. Henson, I can do that for you." but you need to sleep with me once a month. He never did that to me. I don't know. I never had direct dealings with him because I was under a junior manager. So I can't speak for that, but his career was ruined and his reputation has been ruined. I don't know if they've even gone to court to, you know, accuse him of these things. It's all right now just accusations. There's no what's it called when you take someone to trial?
Charges filed?
Yeah, exactly what it is. Right now there have not been any charges filed. It's all, you know, accusations. And I'm not saying, I'm not defending him or his actions, but we do, once we start like on a train of like a movement, we, the people who are proclaiming all this tolerance are the sometimes become the most intolerant people to other situations. So I do understand where you're coming from with the Jon Favreau thing. He should be able to produce the things that he wants to produce because he's successful and, you know, he makes good products. If he then in turn opens the door for other people to do that, that's great. That's what he should do with his success. Right, Jim?
Yes.
Judd Apatow. I applaud him because he's taken so many talented women to the next step, you know, Lena Dunham, his wife, what's her name, Melissa McCarthy. I mean, he's said to so many women, you're so talented, you're not getting a break because Hollywood is sexist, and he's doing something about that. So that I applaud. I don't know if John
Favreau has...
Well,
I was seeing change.
Yeah, but you know, we need more of that. We need people in positions of power to do more things like that. You know, like if, say, for instance, Jennifer Lopez has a production company and she's putting out Latino content. Gina Rodriguez from Jane the Virgin is creating content for the CW. Look at Eva Longoria, all the content that she's created. She created Devious Maids. And, you know, so these are people that are putting their money where their mouth is. And that's how diversity is going to grow, and that's how inclusion is going to grow.
I love it. You're absolutely right. And I know what you're saying about Jon Favreau. You're saying you like to see him take this role and use it as an opportunity while still doing his job to help others reach a higher point in their career of a diverse nature and make sure that his shows, his programs represent that same diversity that you're talking about.
Exactly. That's what he should do.
Oh, that's great. Success. Now, we can't make him do it, but we can hope he does it.
Exactly.
you can't
be angry if, you know, if he continues to make these movies. What you can do is, you know, be hopeful and be proactive. That's being proactive actually does something, you know, as opposed to just being angry about something.
Absolutely. You made a comment earlier, very early in this conversation, that reminded me of something that I'm always saying, and tell me how you feel about this, because I use this to explain why I do my other podcast, and that is that we have a lot of important causes in the world, a lot of things going on right now. We're talking about the NRA thing. We're talking about race, and we're talking about homophobia. We're talking about civil rights, which is the race thing, of course, and rape and all these things, and sexism in Hollywood. And you take all these things, and if the people who are fighting sexism in Hollywood or in their group fighting sexism in Hollywood are doing what they should be doing, that's important. They need to stand up for that. If the people stand up for civil rights are standing up, marching, doing their thing, they should be doing that, and so forth. But to me, even in doing that, if we don't step across the line and help each other out in some way and stand up for someone else's cause, we're no closer to being unified than any other time before.
So you're saying that if we don't support each other's causes, that we're not moving forward.
Right. Absolutely correct.
Yes, I totally agree with you. I think just in general, humanity has to walk forward hand in hand. We can't be compassionate and humane people by sidestepping other people's causes, you know, Black Lives Matter, Oscar So White, the Me Too, the Dreamers. I mean, this is a country that's a patchwork quilt of so many nationalities and cultures and beliefs, and we're a beautiful fabric of colors, and some of us need help getting the rights that we deserve in a country that's set up to promote, you know, civil rights and diversity and female empowerment and take care of children and welcome immigrants. And we have to definitely be supportive of each other's causes, because it's they're all human causes, and you can't be exclusive. No one's cause is more deserving than another.
Right, absolutely.
So, yeah.
We need to really walk in each other's shoes a little bit. And it's funny because I think I'm guilty of this too. The biggest wake-up call is when you make a statement, not you personally, but when someone makes a statement like, looks like, you know, this last year or two, we've taken some tremendous steps backwards in progress. And the wake-up call is when someone tells you and reminds you, no, we just never really moved that far forward as it looked like we did. And that's a shame. And I'm hoping that we can, that this wake-up call will be like a call to arms to people to wake up and be cognitive of that stuff and try to help each other out.
Absolutely. You know, maybe everything has a purpose. I think every movement is a reaction of a certain climate, and the political climate that we are in was the right set of circumstances for all of these empowering movements that we're seeing right now. So maybe we're not happy with the way our government is operating at the top right now, but it has inspired and motivated so many movements right now that maybe that change needed to happen, and it was a boiling point. So you had to have that precipice of anger about the way that things are being handled in order, because we had become very complacent, I think, in our society. Because we came from a presidency that was very, you know, about compassion and, you know, about desegregation and pro the Black Lives Matters movement came out of it and everything. But we got very complacent about where we are in politics and in terms of social justice. And then it took someone like the Trump administration to wake us up and slap us in the face and say, hey, you know what? We're actually going backwards, and we have still a long way to go. So let's keep moving, and let's support each other and move together, forward together.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what you said is so true and rings true for me. It's sort of like people becoming very depressed, terrified by what's been happening in the last couple of years and feeling like, oh my God, this is what humanity's come to, that we voted in this administration the way it is. And the truth is, I feel like, and if you look at, you know, popular vote, you know, if you want to get political, if you look at the popular vote, you know, the people really did want something different than what we have. And even more so, I think why it happens the way it happened is, and this is a speculation, I don't have any facts to support this, this is what I believe. I believe complacency, I got to put that in there, right, just in case someone calls me out. But, I think complacency is what led to, and I think I just made up a new word, but being complacent is what led to what we have today. And because it wasn't that we weren't all here thinking what we're thinking and feeling what we're feeling, it's just that the other people who made this happen, made sure this would happen, were louder and more proactive in getting what they wanted.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you're saying. Now it's a wake-up call. Now we need to move forward, and we need to be more proactive. I personally, at 40 years old, in the last 3 years, have become much more educated about politics than ever in my entire life. I understand it so much better now. Shit, I think a lot of us are in that boat, honestly.
People just let politics be politics. So many more millennials are reading the newspaper and reading the news now because of our political climate right now. So if anything, Americans are becoming more educated and they're becoming more vocal and they're becoming more inspired. So I think that this is a really beautiful time in America. I think that a lot of growing is happening and we need to embrace it and we need to reflect it in our films. And in our art. So I think a lot of great art's going to come out of this.
Oh, I do. I do, too. I think we're moving in the right direction. I think more people are starting to wake up. There's still the stubborn people, the people who don't want to give up what they feel entitled to, and we need to work on that a little bit. And I think industries as a whole, I don't care if you're talking about a miner's club, a minor job, or a job in IT, or a job in janitorial services, whatever it is in Hollywood. I think more and more the people who run these businesses need to be a little bit more aware of who works for them and who's creating that type of environment and weed that out so we can have a more productive, more diverse environment in the future.
Of course, yes, and they need to be more cognizant of who they're serving, you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, so. Who they're answering to. Absolutely. Why would you want to be part of something that promotes some kind of hatred or prejudice, of course? Speaking of you, because we have you here, I read something in one of your posts right before we got on the phone for the interview here on this Woman's Day. Were you once named an influential Latino woman?
Last year. Mm-hmm. I was named by Hispanic Lifestyles magazine a 2017 Latina of Influence last year. So, and that was a great honor. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, belated congratulations.
Thank you.
As deserving as you. Very good.
Thank you.
That's awesome. But wow. Okay. Yeah. Good deal. Good deal. How does one get named that? Did you enter something or did someone like nominate you? How did you?
Well, my publicist had come up across an entry call for deserving mm-hmm. women that of a Latina descent who have, through their works and their advocacy and volunteerism and activism have strived to improve the lives of other women and people in their field. And so she said, well, you're certainly deserving of that. And so she submitted me and I was selected.
Nice. You know why, people wouldn't know just from hearing us talking in an interview here, but you all need to check it out. Like, I've seen this because, you post things. You are active. You are active, and you do a lot of stuff for the community, so good for you. Good for you. That's awesome.
Thank you. I'm just trying to empower the next generation of artists that are coming behind me. If I had someone that I could have used as a role model. I think that I would have
suffered less and gotten maybe further along faster. But, you know, if I can inspire or uplift or help anybody, then everything was worth it.
Awesome, man. That's great. That's great. I love it. I love it. I love you. Thank you so much for talking
Chris.
To me today. Now, what I do, every time I do an interview, usually I do the 10 questions. We've already done that.
Yeah.
So I'm moving on to a different game, a different little game to end the show with here. What I do is three-word association. What that means is we've all seen word association where you give the first word that comes to mind. But this one gives you the opportunity to say three words, so you're not stuck with just one.
Oh, okay.
So I'll have a couple of these
three words.
Three words on each word, if that makes sense to you. So the first one is NRA.
A. No more guns.
All right. At all? Like, you want to completely abolish guns? So they handguns? Hunting rifles, everything, or just the ones we call weapons of war?
Weapons of war.
Okay, yeah. I don't think a lot of people truly are trying to take all guns away. I think that's an extremist defense that they go to. As soon as you hear bump stocks and semi-automatic, what next will be the pistols? That's not what everybody's saying. All right, good deal. All right, so we both enjoyed
it. No more guns in children's hands and, you know,
there you go.
Mentally ill. Anyone who's going to use a gun to hurt another human being, guns.
All right. Second one is, we both enjoyed this. I'll get your first three words that come to mind on this. Hashtag games.
What was that?
Hashtag games.
Hashtag games.
Yes.
Hashtag games. I love them.
Hey, there you go. All right. Hollywood.
Hollywood. Diversity, inclusion, minorities.
All right. And last but not least, Social media.
Tone it down. I think that.
Tone it down. So
everyone's
much infighting with everybody.
15 minutes of fame. Yes.
And everybody's trying to show each other up. You know what I like about you is you could totally pull rank and say, well, look, you're nobody. But you don't do that. you blend right in. It's awesome. That's what I like about you. You're one of us. One of us regular people, but there's a little bit of All right. So is there anything else that you wanted to say or talk about before we go?
No. I think I'm chatted out. Thank you so much for having me and giving me a platform. It's an honor and a pleasure to be able to defend my causes, and if I make one little inch of difference, then, you know, my whole career is not in vain. So I appreciate
you
giving me a platform. Thank you so much, Chris. Thank you. Love you.
Come, good.